From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. We count it a privilege to have you listening in today. In just a few moments, you'll hear a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Returning to his studies in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, Dr. Cairns continues with the general theme of the previous message on Christ, the Friend of Sinners. Last time, the focus was on the weeping Christ. This time, Dr. Cairns turns to the picture of the welcoming Christ. The text is Luke chapter 15, a passage which contains several well-known parables, including the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. Before coming to the message, in today's hot topic, Dr. Cairns reports that a Muslim leads the Iowa legislature in prayer for victory over unbelievers.
Incredible as it may seem, at a time when American troops are being murdered by Muslim terrorists, and when the atrocities of 9/11 are just 6.5 years removed, the Iowa House of Representatives invited a Muslim imam to open its 2008 session with prayer. After speaking in Arabic, Muhammad Khan of the Islamic Center of Des Moines spoke in English and prayed as follows. I seek refuge in God against the accursed Satan, in the name of God most gracious, most merciful. To many Muslims around the world, America is the great Satan. Was Muhammad Khan referring to America and stigmatizing it as accursed? In leading the Iowa legislature in prayer, was he asking his God for the destruction of America? Certainly the use of the language he chose was incendiary. Without any indication to the contrary, we must conclude that he knew very well the connotation of Satan as employed by millions of Muslims around the world. Khan went even further. He made no direct reference to the war in Iraq, but he spoke of his God as the master of the day of judgment and asked for, quote, victory over those who disbelieve. Now that's pretty specific. To a Muslim imam, those who disbelieve are infidels. America's troops in Iraq and Afghanistan are, according to Muslims, unbelievers, infidels. I believe that it was for their defeat that this Muslim cleric prayed to ask Allah in the Iowa House of Representatives for the defeat of their own troops. And for whose victory do you suppose he was praying? Since it was a victory over unbelievers that he had in mind, it stands to reason he was asking for victory to be given to those forces of belief, that is, the forces of Islam. Muhammad Khan was a guest of Iowa State Representative Akko Abdul-Samad of Des Moines, another local Muslim leader. I can only suppose that Samad found the imam's prayer to his liking. What concerns me is that I have heard of no representative who rose up in protest or who walked out of the chamber rather than listen to the sectarian rant of a Muslim insulting the legislature and the nation. Whatever anyone's view of the Iraq or Afghanistan wars, for a state legislature to sit docilely while a Muslim leads the members in prayer for the defeat of his own nation and for the victory of Islam over his own troops is disgraceful. I have noted that there has been no outcry from the ACLU. If a Christian minister prays in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ or includes anything specifically Christian in his prayer, the ACLU will cry separation of church and state and seek to silence such public prayer. But when a Muslim prays as Muhammad Khan did in Iowa, the ACLU goes strangely silent. Even the clearly understood references to political and military matters do not call forth their ire. It seems that the only religious expression that offends the liberals of the ACLU is anything that professes to be Christian. Islam is becoming bolder by the day. It took a lot of gall for Muhammad Khan to appear in an American state legislature to pray against the accursed Satan and for the defeat of the forces of unbelief, knowing full well that to Muslims, America is the great Satan and her armies are the armies of the infidel. But at least he was loyal to his cause, however perverted that cause may be. The representatives who sat idly by to listen to him did a spineless thing, a shameful thing. If Americans don't soon waken up, they will soon be where Britain is, with Muslims graciously offering them Sharia law. That's a gift we can do without, along with such incantations as that with which Muhammad Khan disgraced Iowa's legislature's opening session for 2008.
Oh,
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Gospel of Matthew. Five articles dealing with various aspects of this book will give you a deeper understanding of the Lord's Word through Matthew, the converted tax collector. Other articles in this issue deal with the nation of Ghana, as well as with one of the most important aspects of the Christian life, the subject of prayer. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
Turning this morning to the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. It's a very familiar chapter, and yet it never loses its charm. We're going to read it together. We come to the third of the three parables here. The great English novelist Charles Dickens, one of the most skillful users of the English language you can ever read, termed this the greatest short story ever told. And I think that is to put it mildly. So let's read together in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance.
Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. The first and the last verses of Luke chapter 15 are directly parallel. The first verse says that the publicans and sinners drew near to Christ. The last verse says, This thy brother was dead and is alive, was lost and is found. The first verse makes a plain statement of historical fact. The publicans and the sinners drew near to Christ. The last verse makes the same statement, only this time in the picturesque terms of a parable. The meaning in the message of Luke chapter 15 can be easily summarized. All the publicans and sinners, you've got to understand that speaking of all the publicans and sinners of that particular area at that particular time, all the publicans and sinners of that area were drawing near to hear Christ. The use of the imperfect tense is important. It wasn't just on one occasion a number came. This was happening time after time in that area. All the publicans and sinners were drawing near to hear Christ. Christ gladly welcomed them. The Pharisees and the scribes were scandalized, and so they started to sneer. The Lord Jesus took their criticisms as a badge of honor, and he told three compact stories to illustrate both his feelings toward sinners and his purposes for them. And he lets us into a secret that both God and the angels of heaven are altogether of his mind. Thankfully, not of the mind of the scribes and the Pharisees, in that they rejoice at a sinner's repentance. Now, the heart of this chapter and the key to interpreting it is Christ's willingness to save and to receive sinners. This is the point of each of the three parables, the willingness of Christ to receive sinners. Each of these parables, therefore, is a story to illustrate this single point. Now, it's debatable if the parables have any other points in them. It's quite possible, especially in the third, that the Lord Jesus intended us to see a parable of Jews and Gentiles. But that's not our purpose to get into that this morning. The main point in every parable is the love of Christ for sinners. Now, that means that there's a lot of fanciful interpretation that goes on when you come to Luke 15. Many commentators have tried to see here the work of the Holy Trinity in saving sinners. They find that in the first parable of the lost sheep, that speaks of the Son. The woman in the second parable, they tell us, is the emblem of the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, the Father in the third parable is the type of God the Father. Well, let me make it clear that these parables are not intended to typify the working of the Trinity in salvation. The woman in the second parable is not, and I emphasize not, a type of the Holy Spirit. She is a picture of Christ seeking and loving to receive the lost. And this is harder to grasp. The Father in the third parable is not speaking of God the Father at all. Remember, this is just a story. And the story is to illustrate not some characteristic of God the Father. It is given to illustrate the fact that this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, loves sinners and receives sinners. Something else that may be hard to grasp. The flock that Jesus speaks of in the first parable, the 99 left in the wilderness and going after that which is lost, is not intended to be a picture of Christ's flock on the earth. I mean, it makes no sense. And that so many preachers try to take it that way. But it makes no sense. For example, this lost sheep had once been in the flock. Now he's lost and perishing. The shepherd goes after him. I want to tell you, there are no sheep get lost out of Christ's flock. Second, the 99 left in the wilderness, Jesus says the meaning of that is that there are 99 just persons that need no repentance. Now, who in Christ's flock could ever say, we need no repentance? This is a story. And the story is saying that there are people whom Christ leaves. Who are they? They're the people who think that they need no repentance. That's their own testimony. I don't need to repent. And so he leaves them. And that's a terrible, terrible statement. An awful statement. To be left by Christ because in arrogance and pride. You think you are just, upright, good enough, and don't need any repentance. That's a terrible way to be. But for the one who's gone wandering, there's no doubt recognizing that he's a sinner, the Lord Jesus will go after him. Now, this then is what the 15th chapter of Luke is all about.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.